While working at Morningstar Ministry, this gentleman by the name of Steve Thompson, who many of you know and have read his things, you may have even written this book, All May Prophesy, defines prophecy this way. Prophecy is speaking divine encouragement. Now, who doesn't want to do that? And I think most of us don't think of that as being prophetic, but as you look at the second part, hearing from God and speaking what you hear in order to build, comfort, and encourage someone, that's pretty common to us in this congregation, but I think for a lot of people, they don't even think that way. They don't think that God would want to use them to encourage someone else, or that would be called prophecy. But that really is the essence of the prophetic. And let's look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, where it talks about spiritual gifts, and Paul's writing to the church, trying to encourage and build the church up in their understanding of what spiritual gifts are. And remember, they don't know much about what God's doing on the earth at all. They don't know much about the work of the Holy Spirit. They're just now coming to grips with the fact that Gentiles can now become God's people, which is must be an overwhelming challenge for them to be able to embrace that. The Gentiles are being saved. They're trying to figure out what that means, what it means to be a follower of Jesus, a follower of Christ. And so Paul's writing to the church in Corinth and encouraging them with this. Verse 8 says, "For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and another the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, and to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another the effecting of miracles, and another prophecy, and another the distinguishing of spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues." And that's kind of a list, a grocery list of gifts that the Holy Spirit gives. And how does he decide who he's going to give gifts to? How cool you are. No. But that was a nice guess, Kevin. He gives them because that's who he wants to give them. He decides, the Holy Spirit decides who he's going to give gifts to. And why would he even give gifts? It's for the building up of the church. And so he decides what the church needs. The Holy Spirit looks at Evangel. He decides what Evangel needs, or what the kingdom of God in Calhoun County needs. And he gives gifts to the people that are in this room that enable us to go that direction, the direction he wants to go. He doesn't give us spiritual gifts to show off. He doesn't give us spiritual gifts to make one person cooler than another. He gives spiritual gifts because he has something he wants to accomplish in a region, and so he gifts people to get them where he wants them to go. It's really simple. But we've really made it a mess. We've made spiritual gifts odd. I can't get sidetracked tonight. I got lots to do. There are three gifts that are given in this section of Scripture that are revelatory. They're the word of knowledge, which is the knowledge of a specific fact about a person, place, or event that wasn't obtained through natural means. Sometimes you just know something. And there's no reason that you should know that. There's no influence that comes from behind that in your bank of knowledge that informs you of that. It's just something you know, and it was obtained supernaturally. Word of wisdom is the second one, which is a divine revelation of the will, plan, or purpose of God for a specific situation. Now, I think a lot of what pastors operate in, if they're actually listening to what God's saying to them about the place they live, what most pastors get about congregations and direction for congregations is actually word of wisdom. And that's the gift they operate in a lot. But you have to listen, you have to believe, you have to think of this thing as more than just a job, but you're a shepherd over people. You're a shepherd who's leading and guiding people. So God will give words of wisdom often to shepherds to lead them and guide them in how they direct people. And then distinguishing of spirits, the ability to recognize and distinguish between types of spirits and anointing. I'm not going to talk about that too much because that's really not where we're going tonight. Steve Thompson states in this book called All May Prophesy, words of knowledge, words of wisdom, and prophecy and discerning of spirits are gifts in the same way that guns, ammunition, and grenades are gifts to a soldier. They are divine empowerments to operate in the supernatural revelation and power of God. And again, I just want to say that this is God's program, God's plan. If there's a war going around us right now, if there's spiritual warfare going on around us, and I'll guarantee you there is, It's God's battle. But he equips us to fight in his battle by giving spiritual gifts. And these revelatory gifts are part of those gifts that he gives. I just threw this in. This is a quote from John Piper, who has given a lot of thought to how the body of Christ operates. And he defines prophecy like, if I was to give up and get up right now and give a word of prophecy, he would define it this way. And I like this. It's comprehensive, but it's the heart of a father. John Piper is a father in the Spirit. He's a father. It is the communication of divine revelation from the Holy Spirit, usually to a group of gathered believers for edification, encouragement, consolation, conviction, or guidance. Now, that's more comprehensive. Most people will say that prophecy should be for edification, encouragement, and consolation. I love the fact that he adds conviction or guidance. Because sometimes the Holy Spirit wants us to adjust the direction we're going, adjust our path. And he'll use prophetic gifts to do that, to adjust the path. He typically won't take a group of people 180 degrees unless they're deeply caught up in sin. And then there's conviction and change of direction. But usually the direction, the guidance that the Holy Spirit will give prophetically is a course correction. It's not a new direction usually. Unless, like I said, people are way off track. Anyway, back on topic. Usually to a group of gathered believers for edification, encouragement, consolation, conviction, or guidance, but not necessarily free from a mixture of human error. I love the humility in that. And thus needing to be assessed on the basis of apostolic teaching, which is biblical teaching, and mature spiritual wisdom. Do you like that one? It's good. There's some meat to it. It isn't just quoting a verse in Scripture that says it should be for these three things, but it goes into a little more depth. So it's important to understand that getting this revelation from the Lord is all part of a process that's going on. And this process includes not just revelation, but revelation, interpretation, and application. Many of you have heard this and know this, but there are some people in the room right now who don't know anything about what I'm talking about, and it's for both of us. If you think that you already know all this, just simmer down and learn anyway. You know, just listen anyway. Try to embrace this anyway. I know that you're spiritually mature, but go with me on this, okay? Revelation is the information that God gives without us having prior knowledge of that situation. The information can be given in the form of dreams, visions, or impressions, or a knowledge. And I think that there can be other forms of revelation too, but this pretty much covers the gamut. Most people get revelation in the form of impressions. That's what most people get, is they just get an impression, just this thought that pops through your head, this idea, this thought that doesn't seem to be in the stream of your thinking at the time, but it kind of pops in and you recognize that it has the character of God behind it. So interpretation is receiving and understanding what God gives. Application is the way that the revelation is applied. So that's the difference between the three. And they're all three. God gives revelation, he gives the ability to interpret, and he also gives the wisdom to apply it. So there's those three parts of how you handle revelation. In his book, Thompson spent some time developing the ways God communicates supernatural revelation to us. And we just talked about those are impressions through the five senses: sight, smell, hearing, touch, taste. A lot of times Lisa gets revelation through songs, which, okay. I mean, a lot of times she'll hear a song in her head and that will be actually revelation from the Lord. What are some of the other that you guys hear? What are some of the other ways that you hear? Yeah. Most people just get impressions. It's just this fleeting thought. I remember when I was at Shekinah, just beginning to understand, just trying to understand this through the vineyard. And these guys were having words of knowledge that were off the chart. They were right on all the time. So I don't know how you watch that and then try to figure out how to do it yourself. But I remember being at Shekinah and having these thoughts come. And it may not be spiritual enough for you, but I just follow them. I just trust. I just go with it. And sometimes it would be God, and sometimes it wouldn't be God. And what I was doing was I was learning to hear the voice of God. I was learning what his voice sounded like. I was learning what my insecurities sound like. and my fears sound like, because a lot of times I was listening to myself. I mean, I would get this impression, and I felt like it was an encouragement for the body of Shekinah, but I would hold back because I was afraid that I might be wrong or might be stepping over the line, and I had to get over that insecurity. And the way you get over that is just, you know, Wimber used to say that you spell faith R-I-S-K, and it's right. You have to take a risk, and tonight you're going to take some risks. We'll get to that in a minute. Interpretation is the stage of revelation where most mistakes are made. Amen? I can't tell you the number of times that people have said, I got this word for evangel, but I don't know what it means and I don't know what to do with it, but I think you ought to do this. And it's like, skip the interpretation and go right to, I think you ought to... You know, and a lot of times those are words that are given out of fear and doubt, and they just want to fix things. And you're kind of prone to that in the whole interpretation thing, because we have to filter it through. Let me go back to the notes. By doing so, we learn about his character and the things he likes or dislikes. Okay, this is really cool. The key to effective interpretation is your relationship with God. That's the key to effective interpretation. By doing so, we learn about his character and the things he likes and dislikes, and should thereby be quick to recognize whether the source is God or not. And so you'll see it's consistent with what God says about himself. Again, Steve Thompson writes, interpretations are often derived through the interplay between our understanding of interpretive principles, which is, you know, sometimes... If you see a vehicle, a car or a train or a boat, a lot of times that means that's representative of ministry. Well, you can kind of learn that over time, that a lot of times that's what the Lord's trying to communicate. So those are the kind of interpretive principles he's talking about. Our sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and our heart attitude. To adequately interpret God's mind, we must also possess his heart. So the key to all this is your connection with Jesus. You can't do this if you're disconnected from him, or if there's some kind of riff in your relationship with him. It really does get in the way. And so your relationship with Jesus is key. Okay, so there are four hindrances that may cause us to misinterpret. Opinions we have, offenses and bitterness, which is what Jody was talking about tonight. This is one of the things that the Lord has been telling us the last couple years that we just have to get rid of. He's like, you just have to deal with this. I don't care where they've come from. I don't care what people have done to you or what you think. You just need to get rid of all offenses, because they're going to get in the way of your ability to hear what I'm saying to you and act upon it, which is what revelation is. It just gets in the way. And I know a lot of people who say they're prophetic, and they've got this thing against this group of people and this other thing against another group of people. They've been hurt and they've been put down and they've been shoved away and they've been offended by what people have done in response to their gifting, and it just gets in the way of revelation. It gets in the way of being able to handle revelation well. So offenses and bitterness have got to go. I'll just say that flat out. You cannot afford to have offenses that are undealt with. Sin and spiritual bondage is another one. I mean, when we have unconfessed sin in our lives, we are allowing a stronghold that will prevent us from accurately interpreting a revelation. Such strongholds include lust, bitterness, rebellion, or a religious spirit. And you can see that when people get rid of this stuff, all of a sudden they start hearing clear. And the things they start hearing sound much more like God than they did before, because they're hearing without the filter of that sin and spiritual bondage they're in. And it doesn't mean that we need some kind of prophetic police to go around and make sure that everybody is sinless in the group, because all of us deal with sin. The problem isn't sin. The problem is unrepentant sin. If you don't deal with the sin in your life, if you're afraid, if it's the R word, and I don't want to go around the R word, repentance. I mean, for gosh sakes, it's a huge gift to the body of Christ. If you ignore that gift of being able to repent and be forgiven, oh my gosh, you're up against so much, and the enemy can target you and take you out so easily. So sin and spiritual bondage are things we have to deal with. And carnal judgment, this is when we just think we know. because we think we know. And a lot of times, if you have a lot of experience with revelation, you base what you're hearing on past experience, and that can be just as dangerous. You've got to be willing to listen, and you have to have the humility to know that God will speak to you anytime, anywhere, and you better be ready. Your life better be free from offense, free from sin, and even free from your own carnal judgment. You've got to be willing but ready for his revelation to flow through you. So that's interpretation. Application is a crucial element in the prophetic, is knowing how to apply revelation. God wishes to speak his heart as well as his mind when he ministers through us. Therefore, it's important that we honor God and his people as we minister in his name. It's important to recognize the level of authority God's given us in the setting we minister in. Now, this is why it will be remarkable in this day and time if a prophetic person would walk in the door now, walk up, ask for the mic, and say, I have a word from the Lord for this group of people, and you will see me go. Because they don't have any authority in this group of people. I mean, you guys who, this is your church, you have no idea how much authority you have here. You have much more authority than you ever walk in. Because you're part, you're connected. But people who are outside, that's why you really take a risk in inviting prophetic people into your community, because unless they go through the proper protocol with the leaders of that community, they're not going to have the authority to minister freely like the Lord wants them to. So authority is a big deal. Authority isn't something you hold over a prophetic person's head, but it's something we need to work together on. It needs to be a relationship that develops between the leaders who are in authority and the prophetic voice who is speaking in authority. And so, all that to say, you know, there's a certain amount of authority that exists in this room right now. And tonight we're going to exercise that authority. We really are. If I can get through this. Same principle applies to prophetic. Some think they have the authority to speak into any situation, but that's not necessarily the case. Just because God gives you a revelation of a problem when you're visiting a church doesn't mean you have the authority to bring the correction to that situation. I can't tell you number of times when God's given me a clear word from him that the sound at this church sucks. And yet I have no authority to go talk to the sound man about, that's a joke, Kevin, just relax. You know. But you don't have the authority when you're visiting another church unless you have a relationship that gives you that authority, or the Lord has given you that authority, and then you'll operate on a whole different plane than you would naturally. So let's see. Let's go down to the bottom. One more very helpful word from Steve Thompson. All our seeking to become prophetic should lead us to a greater devotion to the Lord himself. That's the truth. If it does not, then we need to make serious adjustments in our approach. This is the heart the Lord is looking for in us, this heart of devotion to him. It's our first desire is to know him, that we long for the power of his resurrection, to share in his sufferings and lay down our lives. That's a powerful place to stand, a powerful place to live. So, tonight we're going to do something a little different. On May 8th, I was in this room, as I was telling you before, sitting in that chair, and all of a sudden, a picture popped into my head, and this is what it looked like. This isn't the fountain I saw, but this is what it looked like. It was a tiered fountain with a base of water. And then, as I was watching this picture, somebody came on the right side and grabbed a cup, much like that, took some water out and walked back out that door over to across the street to their emergency support shelter, which was not there yet. It was being in the process of establishing itself. And the other side of the fountain, there were some people, and I just needed some pictures of somebody dancing in water, and that's where I got that. But that's what was going on. There was this joyful kind of dancing, celebrating going on the other side. So there were two things going on in this fountain at the same time. And I shared a little bit about this with you the other day, but I thought it would be cool to walk through the process of interpretation and application of this together. So that's what we're going to do tonight. And we're going to start off, and we're going to just do it by asking some questions. And maybe Kevin, could you go back to the soundboard for a sec? Maybe somebody could help me up here. Tracy, you're great. You're good at helping. You take the mic, and we're going to work through this together, and we're going to ask some questions, and Tracy's going to go to you with the mic so that you can hear, so that we can have this on tape, so people can hear what you're saying. Lenny, would you have something to write with? Because you're an amazing note taker. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to go through a list of questions, and we're going to actually interpret this scripture, or interpret this vision. I know you didn't get the vision, but in a group of prophetic people, this happens all the time. Here you go, Trace. Okay. This happens all the time where we confer. We look at what somebody else has got as revelation, and then we all as a process of doing this together. So wherever we go as a congregation, I believe that for the next season, this is what's going to direct us in some ways. It's going to be what provides a framework for us. So the first question is this: what does the Bible have to say about fountains? Now, do you have a Bible? Anybody, who has a Bible? Okay, open your Bible and go to the back and look up fountain. The back of your phone, yeah. Go to the back of your phone. What is, and look through those, it's called a concordance. Look through the concordance and see if there's any scriptures about fountains that kind of stand out to you. And some, depending on what translation you have, you may find some words in some, Rick back there. You don't have to run, Tracy.
Oh, good. Well, I'll wear off a few calories.
I hadn't looked up a scripture yet, but fountains biblically means provision many times.
Okay. What else are you seeing? Kevin's up here. He's got some input. So if you see a scripture that has fountain or fountains in it that you think is...
This is Isaiah 12:3. With joy, you will drink deeply from the fountain of salvation.
Okay, what does that mean, Kevin? What do you think that means? What's that scripture mean? What's it talking about?
I don't know.
Well, what Rick said, right?
Salvation.
There's provision there. There's provision of salvation. Yes. And you're going to drink deeply means that you're going to what?
You're going to drink deeply. Go this deeper.
Something substantial, right?
Yes.
You're drinking something substantial. It's not just, it's no small thing.
Ingest.
That you go to this fountain and get salvation. Nancy, you got something?
John 4:14, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into eternal life.
What does that say to you? What's the connection with what you're seeing in this picture?
Well, that Jesus is our supply, that if we go deep in him, he supplies all we need, and we just won't run out. We'll have
good.
Everything that we need.
Yeah, there's an endless supply. Patrick, while you're up there searching around the internet for the perfect answer, go on our song list and type in search for fountain and find out how many songs that we sing have fountain in them. When somebody else. Nina.
This is Zechariah 13:1. On that day, a fountain will be opened for the dynasty of David and for the people of Jerusalem, a fountain to cleanse them from all of their sins and impurities.
That's cool. So before you give up the mic, what is that? What are you seeing in there that's catching your eye? What are you drawn to in that scripture besides the word fountain? Look at it a little closer.
Well, I think... for me, it's talking about the cross. I mean, and being cleansed by his blood, baptism. I mean, there's a lot in this.
Okay. Yeah. If you're looking for the scripture, all my fountains are in you, because we sing that song, unless you're looking in the NIV, you won't find it, because in the other translations, it's translated springs. Why do you think spring and fountain are translated the same word? Why do you think those are the same thing?
It's flowing water.
Okay, flowing water. Coming, what's the source?
The ground? The Jesus?
It's It's within. It's not it's coming from without. It's not an external source. It's an internal source. Okay.
Isaiah 35. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become cool oases. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals.
Ooh, they're splashing fountain.
Yep. Even lowly jackals will
That's
have
helpful for this,
water
isn't
to
it?
Drink.
What, Isaiah what?
35:5. That was out of the message.
That's just one verse?
5-7, sorry.
Yeah, read it again. Blind. And then somebody else find it in another version. Isaiah 5-5?
Isaiah 35:5-7. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out in the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become a cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals will have water to drink. And barren grasslands flourish richly.
I like that. And I like the fact that Patrick looks in the message. Even though it's not a translation, it's a paraphrase, but it still is helpful in understanding the bigger picture when it comes to Revelation. Anybody else? Anybody on the little crew over here? Rick.
Okay. Whoa. Hey.
Jeremiah 9:1, if my head were filled with water and if my eyes were a fountain of tears, I would cry day and night for my people who have been destroyed.
What does that mean to you?
Yeah, what is that? What caught your attention there, Rick? Because there's a number of scriptures that say fountain in them.
I just thought it was interesting that the way it put it, that if my head were filled with water and my eyes were a fountain, how that would be.
Like gushing.
Yeah, like a,
yeah, it's not
a
just
huge
like a trickle
amount of tears, not just like one was streaming down your face.
Yeah. Lisa's going for it over
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I know. That was encouraging.
You guys should just move this side of the room. There's no
the scripture he's talking about goes on to say and call for the wailing women, and it's actually talking about intercession. And so for him
That's
to be
cool.
talking about the fountain and what your eyes would do, it actually goes on to explain more about what it looks like to be an intercessor.
That's cool. And you, as when you're looking at a revelation and interpreting a revelation, it, a lot of times it's good to keep your eyes on the revelation, and so it's in context, so that you can see the significance of the context. Let's go to the next. What, okay, Jeff.
One. Do you have one, Jeff? Okay, there you go.
Mine is Psalms 36:9. It says, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light we see light."
Okay, but, let's answer this. Whoa.
Well, yeah. If we're looking at Rio 2... Then,
oh my gosh.
Anyways, I remember what the picture was, but it, for me, I guess what this would have to do with that, for you is the fountain of life. It's talking. He's talking to God, saying that he's the fountain of life, and so like you can find God here at the church. I mean, you can find him anywhere, but there's totally light coming from Evangel, and so the people, you know, the cup people are coming here to get filled up and. Like from across the street and
yeah.
next door. So that's what I see is a light. So they can see the light of God through that.
Okay, so answer this question. What does it reveal, that scripture reveal about God's character?
What it, that he's
Look
light?
At it again.
He's the, good?
Good, there's light there.
Yeah.
You know,
life?
You think of the scripture, there's no darkness in him.
The fountain
light?
Of life, so just life.
Yeah, life. Yeah. Okay, so what are some of your other ideas? You won't probably be able to go directly to Scripture, but what do some of these scriptures reveal about the character of God that we've talked about so far? What do they say about his supply, the supply of God? Unlimited, plentiful, right? Go ahead. What does it say about the character of God?
Well, I actually found a really good one out of Proverbs 3, and it actually talks about... him finding the earth and about not losing sight of who he is and of his discernment. And so that just kept coming back to me just about his discernment and the character of God.
There you
and,
go.
And revelation from him and from his heart and who he is.
Because one of the troubles we have is we look at God like us, like a person. We don't look at him like the creator of the universe. And so he's limited. And so when we start to see him as unlimited, this picture of a fountain becomes really important.
Yeah, just really fast, just let me read these two verses. It says, by wisdom the Lord founded the earth, by understanding he created the heavens, by his knowledge the deep fountains of the earth burst forth, and the dew settled beneath the night sky. This is a really good scripture for any of you who want to go deeper. It's Proverbs 3, but I would just read the whole chapter because all it talks about is how he will refresh our soul and just who he is. I love it anyway.
So as you look at this picture of these people dancing in the fountain, that could be part of what they're experiencing, this freedom in their soul, you know? So what else can you see about the character of God in scripture?
Not to put a plug in for the movie, but it refers to fountains when the flood came in Noah's time, and that whatever the movie was called a while ago was a pretty apt description visually of an unending supply from the deep. So,
but yeah, and remember, I think
King James has it calls of a fountain.
Yeah,
not just springs of the earth, but a fountain from within the earth or something like that. So.
I think it says gushing fountain too, if I remember right. But that at that point, it had not rained enough for a flood to come, and so the water actually came gushing out of the earth in fountains or springs. What else does it say about the character of God? What else about God's character you see in this whole picture of fountains? What about him? Lisa's mumbling.
His character is full of provision. It's refreshing. It's life-giving. It's fun, actually. The scripture that came to my mind is out of John, and it says, he who believes in me, as the scripture said, which is really key, because you have to believe in him as the scripture says, not as man has said.
Yeah.
He who believes in me, as the scripture says, out of his bellies will flow rivers of living water. Other interpretations say fountains of living water. And so it's really important to believe in him as the scripture says to have that flow.
So take this next one, Lisa, while you're there. What's the significance of this type of fountain? Because you could have different kinds of fountains, but the Lord was showing us something by this kind of fountain.
I would think that there's layers to it. The fact that there's layers to it could speak of all sorts of things. The Lord has more than one thing he wants to convey through it.
Good.
He wants to speak multidimensional to us about what he's birthing and raising up here in the middle of the floor, in the spirit, so to speak.
You have all seen fountains where it's just the middle part, right? Mm-hmm. But how? What's the significance of the base?
He's giving us choice.
Linda.
I think that this speaks of he's giving us a choice. Like, you have a cup, so where are you going to get your water? From the first level, second level, third level? Or are you going to dip right down in the bottom?
Very good. There's choice involved. What else do you see? Yes, Caroline.
Well, I was just going to say, like, when a fountain doesn't have a base, it just flows all over. But when it has a base and it's all contained, you have to come right to it. You have to come right in, and you have to reach in for any of the water, or if you want to jump and dance in the fountain, you have to get into that fountain.
Good.
It's not all over on the ground.
Yeah. And there are some fountains like that. I saw pictures of fountains that were in, like, malls, and they were just the whole mall area was the fountain ran out into it. Rick, too.
Yeah. Community is what I got to.
Good. There you go.
I got that it's kind of majestic looking. It captures your attention. It's made to wow you, I guess.
Good.
There's a sound. When you have the layers, there's a different sound that it creates. From the fountain.
Now, why is all this stuff important? Why is it important? What kind of this? What's the significance? And this is just my opinion, but I think that word significance is key to revelation.
say that again?
Not what does this mean? What does this look like? What is this trying to say to us? But the key question a lot of times you want to ask yourself is, what's the significance of this? Why is this significant? Huh? Yeah. So it could mean a lot of different things, but there's a significance to us. Like when I saw this fountain, I immediately knew that we were to create a relationship, a connection with Emergency Support Shelter. So the significance of the cup of water was attached to them. It wasn't just about the vague idea of a cup of water, but that cup of water connected us with them. And I'm sure that there's going to be multiple levels of that that are revealed over the years, but that's where it got started for me anyway, was there was a significance to that. It wasn't just a general statement. So anything else about this? That's pretty, let's move on, because that's pretty good.
There's five.
Yeah. Steve.
Just a second. Okay, I'll be right back.
Just Steve, think this is like weight loss. Oh, yeah. I mean, you're gonna feel so much better after this, Tracy.
That particular type of
fountain, I should do this.
That particular type of fountain requires a pump to get the water flowing.
So
if
it recirculates.
If you don't have a pump, then it's not gonna work at all. It's not gonna be pretty. It's not gonna work at all. And I think for me the significance was that Jesus is the pump. And
very cool.
If he isn't in the very center of it all, then it'll just die. The water, it won't be pretty. It'll just be a body of stagnant water with fleas running around it.
I never did. Kevin, you might be able to answer this. Why do we like fountains? Why are we attracted to fountains? I mean, there's fountains that you can buy for inside your house, little plug-in fountains. Does anybody have one of those? Just moving water?
Because the sound around the Lord is like running water, it says, you know. Well, that's true. It's like,
I know.
You're
that's
out.
Awesome.
That's one of the wonderful things about fishing. If you never catch any fish, there's help
just
me, Ludke. Because the sound of the water is so wonderful, and it's something refreshing always about it.
Yeah, well, that's what John talked about in the book of Revelation. The sound of many waters. Now she's all over the place.
I almost forgot what I was going to say. When I look at the cup, I think of the human body is made up of, 6 liters of water.
Yeah.
You need water in your body. It's a mandatory thing. If not, you get dehydrated. All kinds of bad things happen. I picture those people, many of them are dry. They're in a dry, thirsty land. They're dehydrated over there, maybe, you know, because of their life situations. So they need the living water.
Very cool.
As much as we do. And it's going to bring them as much joy, dancing, splashing, playing, as it has us.
Yeah.
And so isn't that the whole mission of sharing the gospel?
I don't know. We're going to find out, I think. That's probably part of it, though.
Yeah, thanks.
This is awesome. Rick.
So Psalm 36 says, the fountain of life flows from you. So water is life. I mean, life is always gathered around water. Water is the source of life. And, of course, the living water is the absolute source of life.
Very cool. Debbie?
In Song of Songs, it is 4:15, you are garden fountain, a well of fresh water streaming down from Lebanon's mountains. When I looked at that picture, it was like Steve said, it's the fountain is centered, but the different tiers, it takes everyone doing their part to make everything work.
Yeah.
To make it flow. And I noticed that the water isn't stagnant.
Yeah, yeah. I built a water feature at our house because I had dirt.
Don't brag.
No, I'm just saying.
No, I wanted one.
Just, come on, let me have one. I built a water feature at our house. I'd never done that before, but it didn't look that hard. And the one thing I learned about building water features is you can't tell the water where to go. It goes where it wants. And so you kind of imagine that there's a low spot here where it gathers, like this. You know,
that has to be perfectly level for it to look like that. It has to be set the right way. And so I probably redesigned this water feature 5 or 6 times to try to get the water to go the way I wanted it to go, because it just took some work. Yeah, Lisa.
The thing I wanted to say is that God knows the person very well who he's giving the picture to. He knows what's going to connect with you. He knows the way that you're going to perceive things, because he knows every way that he designed you. And so by showing you that, he knew that that would trigger in you the movie Friends, or the show Friends, and that he wanted to make it clear.
My girls will be happy about that.
Yes, that he wanted us to become friends, and he wanted us to be able to go on a journey of just life, because that whole show is about just walking through the oddness of life with each other, no matter what comes your way. And he knew that that would communicate to you that same message, so to speak. If he gave that to somebody who never saw that show before, and all they thought of was royal palaces where they've seen that, it wouldn't have the same message. And so you always have to know that when he gives somebody a picture, he's speaking the language that they're designed to understand.
Very good. So that's the answer to the significance of the people in the fountain, plus a little background too on why the Lord gives certain revelations to certain people. He could have given that revelation to all of us. But I think it's helpful that he gave it to the leader. I mean, I think that's kind of helpful, because it doesn't happen very often. I don't know if there have been very many times over the course of evangelist's journey when we have been led or directed by a vision that I've gotten. Last time was when TriHop started, and it was from a word that I got at Starbucks when I was asking the Lord about a place to have a house of prayer, and he said, you have a place, you just have to let go of it. Meaning that we could have it here if we let them, this become the house of prayer. But what was that, 8 years ago? Yes. That was the last time I had that kind of, so this doesn't like happen all the time to me. That's why it was significant to me, because it doesn't happen very often. What about the people in the fountain? What does that tell you when they're doing what they're doing? Rick. Oh, she just walked away.
This wasn't quite, I was still on the last part, but Jeremiah 2, the Lord says, my people have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken the spring of living water, or the fountain, and so they've forsaken him, and that they have dug their own cisterns. This is broken cisterns that can hold. But I thought it's significant to me with a cup of water that goes to the fountain. It's somebody doesn't give that to them. They go to the fountain to get it.
Oh, very good. Yeah. Doesn't it say in Proverbs 2 about wisdom? No, or Proverbs 4 about drinking from your own well. You've not drank. You're drinking from somebody else's well, not your own, or something like that too. Yeah.
Yeah, I like what Kevin said too about it's a peaceful, it's graceful, it's inviting. It's not like a fire hose where it's going to blast you and, like, you know, be harmful to you. But also the people, you're talking about the people. I've never been to a fountain where there hasn't been coins in the bottom of it.
Huh.
And those coins, when people throw the coins in there, what they're doing is they're making a wish. Because I think a lot of people have lost hope in their lives, and so they're hoping for something that maybe this is my last resort. Maybe throwing a coin in here, my wish will come true. And that's kind of weird, and I don't go off too far with that. But I think that can represent people who are losing hope, who are coming and saying, you know what, this is worth a shot.
Very cool.
This is worth a shot to put my investment into this thing that maybe, you know, for someone who doesn't believe, somebody who needs salvation, somebody who needs some kind of hope.
One of the reasons why I wanted Lenny to take notes is because every one of these is a sermon in itself. So I got lots of material for the days ahead. Lisa. Did you have your hand up?
No.
Oh, okay. Let's go on to the next one, because there's just a couple more, and I want to go back to worship. What is the Holy Spirit revealing about God's heart through this vision? So you're not going to be able to look in your Bible necessarily to find this. Not necessarily, I said. Unless you're Nina.
Oh, no, I lost it. Hold on. My thumb moved.
If you are gifted prophetically, you love this. I mean, this is the way you want your friends to spend their time talking about what God is saying and what God's revealing and what it means, not necessarily what it means, but
what was the
question? Heaven is real. I watched that last night. That is amazing. Have you seen it? It is so cool because my favorite is about 7 or 8 years ago, maybe even longer, I ran across through Elijah List this girl, Akiana, who had painted pictures of revelations she'd had when she'd gone to heaven since she was like 4 or 5. Well, she's in this movie. I mean, it's just weird. But the coolest thing is she paints a portrait of Jesus, just a headshot of Jesus. And that's part of the movie, and it connects. There's a connection between what's going on in the movie. I'm not trying to spoil it for anybody, but there's a connection between that picture she painted and what this kid saw. It's a great movie. It'll make you cry. Yeah. Even you, Tasha, it'll make you cry. Yeah. You've got, that's from her? Oh, my gosh. So if you want to know what Jesus looks like, talk to Linda. Because she's got a picture of Jesus.
In Proverbs 2, it's kind of what you were talking about wisdom is from the Lord. But it says, for the Lord grants wisdom, from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He grants a treasure of common sense to be honest and is a shield to those who walk with integrity. He guards the path of the just and protects those who are faithful to him. Then you will understand what is right, just, and fair. And you will find the right way to go. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will fill you with joy. Wise choices will watch over you. Understanding will keep you safe. But the real thing was Proverbs 10, or 2:10, for wisdom will enter your heart. And I think that is a huge thing, because it's a heart issue. You know, do we really want to step into this fountain wholeheartedly and really gain all the wisdom of God, whether it looks worldly or not worldly? Or do we want to hold back? Is our heart really in it? And are we going to lay everything down for the Lord to go deep into that fountain? Or are we going to go to this world and guard our heart from the Lord? Anyways.
Are we?
No, but just saying. There's a choice.
I've just got to interject one thing that has to do with exactly what you're saying, Nina, is when I first saw this vision and connected it with the emergency support shelter, one of the first thoughts I have was, Lord, we're not ready for this. And I actually felt good about that, because that means that we can't do this on our own.
Yeah.
That we need him. It's just fussing with me.
So part of the significance of the person running the cup of water over towards the emergency shelter, even before it was there, was that fountain is contained. And like I said earlier, that water is not going to pour out unless someone takes that water over there. And the people dancing, it's also really significant. You could only find a picture of two women dancing.
What?
There are two women who are dancing. It's significant because of the emergency support shelter.
There were guys dancing. They were just doofy looking guys. I thought these girls looked good. I mean, the way they danced, okay, the guys look goofy.
You chose.
Yeah, that's right. I chose that.
The two women. And the water was poured out over that shelter that the women could come and dance in the fountain.
That's very good. Very good. Could you see dancing? Hmm? I just saw some people splashing in the pool water. I didn't really see them dancing, but they were like splashing. And my first thought was the presence of God, that they're dancing in his presence. Jeff.
So what it said before, you just moved it.
Yeah, that's okay. Go ahead. Well, about God's character.
About what? Well, what did it say before that? Because I had something for that. Sorry. Revealing about God's heart through this vision.
Yeah.
His heart for us, he wants us to be happy. And you were talking about, sorry, about family. Like you were saying Evangel's vision or whatever being about family.
Yeah.
And so what the families. Holy Spirit wants to reveal about God's heart for through that vision is that he wants to see us dance and be filled up very and come cool. to him and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that. I don't know. Sorry.
Yeah. Very good, Jeff.
That's good.
What about this one? What does it say about God's heart? See, this is heart for the church. What is he saying about the Holy Spirit saying to the church through this? Is there a bigger picture than just us? Is he saying something to us, the church, about this?
Isaiah 12:3, therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And to me, the base looks like a well.
Yeah, very good. Very good. Because I think what the Lord is going to do through this is not just about Evangel and emergency support shelter, but it's really going to change the way we look at how we engage with people in the city, how it changes how we engage with people in the city.
Okay, so can I have the mic
yes.
for a minute?
Yeah. Somebody hand Tracy the mic.
No, but no, that is exactly what I was going to say. So I'm just confirming what you just said, because I've been wanting to say, I think this is bigger than the emergency support shelter. I think that's a beginning.
Yep.
But I think that we're going to be not just Evangel, but I think the church of this community, the bride of this community, will be going out, and families will be a huge focus, because families are. But I think the emergency support shelter is just the beginning.
Yeah.
And so I'm just confirming what you said, because cool. That was welling up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Carmen. It's French.
It's simple. It represents to me.
It's simple? That,
yeah, what I'm going to say, simple. He wants us to have pure hearts. And that's what the girls are doing. They're dancing. Their hearts are pure and clean hands.
Cool.
And so they've cleaned their hands in the fountain, and they have pure hearts to celebrate God.
Yeah. Jim.
Run the race. I like that. That ties in well with where I've been. I just noticed the construction of the basin, if you will, but you can see seams. So that would speak, because there's different parts. That's not just one thing. That would speak to the thing that there's more than just one.
Very cool.
There's parts involved.
Diane, do you have something you want to? Do you see something? Okay. Brent, while we're over there. What do you see when you look at that? What? We covered it all?
No.
I just want to make sure that it... Lisa, do you want to say something since you haven't said anything? What do you see when you look at the picture?
Well, it takes me to... when I see that, I look at La Dolce Vita, a film by Marcello Mastroianni, but there was a woman that was the fountain was in the center of town where everybody gathered, and there was a woman who got into the fountain and was splashing and playing and
wow.
and she actually was starting to embarrass herself just a little bit, and then one of the townsmen came in and rescued her and was just very gentlemanly and took her. But anyway, that I don't have anything.
That's cool. What do you mean you don't have anything? That was amazing. That was awesome. I haven't seen that movie. Huh? Kevin's too ready to go.
Oh.
Let's get the worship team back up here. No. After you get
Kevin's
done.
Kevin's got to say something. Okay, Kevin and then Kevin. The church, as a church, as a whole, I've seen it's one fountain. So in our community, it's become the church. And as a fountain, you know, as anything that's built upon, it takes time, it takes a lot of planning, it takes strategic engineering, that God has been working on the church of Longview Kelso community for a long time, and he's been rebuilding and restructuring, and the time for the church as a whole is about to be, the beauty is about to be revealed in as in one church.
Very good. Kevin.
So the fountain's not up there anymore, but when you look at it, it's refreshing, it's inviting, it's appealing, it's fun going around water like that. This is what the move of Yahweh, of Jesus, is going to be like in this area here. And he shared with one of his dear friends that Moses is going to oversee this move. This is something we shouldn't forget. When he took Diane up and showed her that Moses is going, this is phenomenal. Moses is going to oversee this move of God that we come into the promised land. And that's what I see when I look at it. This is what's coming. This is the fountain of God that's fun and exciting and the goal of every man, woman, and child to know Jesus.
That's awesome.
Literally do this for hours.
A word Linda Winters gave me, she spoke it over the body of Evangel, and I wrote it down in my Bible. And she spoke it on January 13th, 2000. And it has this big word that says community. And it says, build houses and live in them and plant gardens and eat their produce. And seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile and pray to the Lord on its behalf. For it is its welfare. You will have welfare. So, Lord, I ask right now that you have had this word on your heart for a long time for us to be ones that would serve in community, Lord.
Amen.
You have had this word in your heart brewing for a long time that we would seek out for what's best, what's your heart for those around us, Lord. You said for us to live here, to plant here, to dwell here, to nourish those around us, Lord. And I just enter into agreement with that word that you spoke, Lord, so long ago. We just say now is the time for us to lay hold of that, Lord. We thank you for the vision that you gave Jeff. And we just thank you, Lord, that this is the next phase of what you've already been planning for a very long time.
Father, I just ask that you come and pour out your Holy Spirit upon us. I ask, Father, that we would be like that well of living water to those around us. It could be something simple like speaking kindness to someone or meeting a need that's simple. Lord, I ask that you would help us to just take small steps and bigger steps, just like that fountain was small at the top and then it got bigger and
yes,
bigger and bigger. And it's kind of like you throw a pebble into the water and the ripples go out. If you look from above, that's kind of what the fountain would look like, is the Father would look down upon it as it gets, the water got bigger and bigger and bigger. And so, Lord, I ask that you would use Evangel in that way.